I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Soul's been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord. Soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord, in the Lord,
yes, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Soul's been anchored in the Lord,
the Lord. I'd sing and pray myself away.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord, yes, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord, yes, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Tries to tempt me sore. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. I'll talk to my Jesus more and more. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord.
Yes, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord,
in the Lord, yes, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord until I reach the mountaintop. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
In the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord,
yes, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Soul's been anchored in the Lord,
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 yes, in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord,
in the Lord,
in the Lord,
yes, in the Lord.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord, my Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord, my Lord.
My soul's been anchored in
my
the
soul's
Lord.
Been anchored in the Lord, been anchored, yes, my soul's been anchored in the Lord.
My friend, I hope your soul is anchored in the Lord, and I welcome you to this edition of the Voice of Hope. That song is so fitting because Dr. Yoder's message for today's program is titled, Christ, the Living Stone. I was born on the tail end of the baby boomer generation, so I grew up during the 1960s and 70s. Most of my formal education took place in the public school system. It was a time in our culture when there was a lot of change going on, and public education had a huge part in helping to foster those changes. Many in my generation were in the process of rejecting the morality of their parents, and they were choosing for themselves a new, amorality. And so teen promiscuity, illegal drugs, and rampant disrespect for authority were some of the hallmarks of that time. By God's grace, I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. I was taught the Bible from the time I was little. I knew the difference between right and wrong. And again, by God's grace, and because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was able to avoid many of the poor choices that my peers made. But you know, as I watch their choices and I observe where they are today, it's easy to see that they build on a foundation that has collapsed and it has left their life in shambles. All I can say is, but for the grace of God, there go I. If you've experienced God's grace in your life, then join the choir in praise to Him. That song is one of my favorites. It reminds me of the peace and security I have as a Christ follower, as one who is committed to following God and His Word. It's wonderful to know that my life and my future rest in the hands of the one who created the universe, the one who faithfully keeps each and every one of His promises. You can have the same peace and joy that I have, friend. In fact, I hope you're already experiencing it. Many people today are concerned with their physical security. They look to the government, to law enforcement, or to the military to protect them from harm. National security is a subject that ranks high in most people's minds. They want to know how they can be protected from violence and from terrorism. Now, in a free society like ours, with the movement of products and people, there are so many ways in which to exploit evil. There's no way government or private citizens can close all the loopholes or cover all the contingencies. Most anti-terrorism experts believe the next terror attack is not a matter of if, but only when. And they also predict it will have as big an impact as 9/11, or even bigger. That's public knowledge. But does that mean that you and I need to live in constant fear? Well, praise God, the answer to that question is a resounding no. You see, Isaiah the prophet lived in the days of King Uzziah. Uzziah was, for the most part, a good king. When he died, it seems Isaiah was discouraged. He was wondering, what happens now, God? But do you remember what happened? Isaiah had a vision of God. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 6. In essence, God was saying, look, Isaiah, Uzziah may have vacated his throne, but I haven't vacated mine. You see, earthly rulers come and go, but God remains on His throne. That's just as true for us today as it was for Isaiah. God is still on His throne. He's in control. I don't know about you, but that's a comforting thought to me. It's a stable foundation that I can build my life upon. So let's pray and thank God for that foundation. Gracious God, our rock and our refuge, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We're so glad that in you we have a solid foundation on which to build our lives. Thank you for the peace, for the joy, and for the security we have in you. And now, Father, as Dr. Uter comes to share his message from 1 Peter chapter 2, open our hearts to receive further encouragement from your word. I pray for my listening friend and for myself that you would strengthen us by your Spirit in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, so we may be rooted and grounded in your love. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before Dr. Uter brings the message, I remind you that you're listening to The Voice of Hope. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For more information, we invite you to visit our website, heraldsofhope.org. And now here's Dr. Uter with today's message, Christ, the Living Stone.
Do you remember some years ago, a man arose in our country who called himself Father Divine? He said he was God. He said he wouldn't die. And he collected a great following. People flocked to him by the hundreds. He lived luxuriously. But you know something? There came a time when his mortality caught up with him. He died. They buried him. Well, in fact, we could say all founders of religions have died. They are all dead. Our Master is alive. Jesus Christ arose from the dead and he ascended to glory. What's more, he's coming back one day. The Apostle Peter refers to Jesus Christ as the living stone. I want to talk about that with you. The title of my message is Christ, the Living Stone. We base our faith on our living Lord. Let's rejoice in that. You follow in your Bible now as I read 1 Peter 2, 1 to 8 for my message, Christ, the Living Stone. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, friend, I find that Peter defines for us the wonderful relationships we can have with Christ, the living stone. The first relationship is this. He controls our attitudes. I want you to look carefully at my scripture text and see the attitudes we are to lay aside. He names them. He said, laying aside all malice. Well, what is malice? Malice is a mean disposition, an evil disposition, and that is in the heart. Lay that aside. Then he says, and all guile. Guile is deceit. Guile is just plain dishonesty. Then he says, lay aside also hypocrisies. Hypocrites are people who live behind a mask. They put out front what they want you to think they are, but behind the mask they are something quite different. They are stage players. And he said, lay aside envies. Envy is an evil eye looking at someone else and thinking mean things about them because you are not as they are. Envy. And finally, he says, all evil speaking. That means all defame, all the talking down people. Now, these are the attitudes we are to lay aside. These are the attitudes our living stone will control in our lives. After laying aside these attitudes, the Apostle Peter encourages us now to cultivate one attitude. There is an attitude to cultivate. Very simply, it's just one attitude. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire the pure, undefiled, unpolluted, undiluted Word, that you may grow by it, that you may develop by it, that you may increase by it. Cultivate that attitude. It's based on whether or not you have really tasted that the Lord is gracious. And He is. Yes, the Lord is gracious. So He is gracious enough to impart the necessary nutrients to grow by the milk of the Word. One chief aim we should have is to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. So here is the first relationship that we may have with Christ our living stone. He controls our attitudes. He helps us to lay aside the wrong ones and cultivate the right one. The second relationship we may have with Christ our living stone is He consecrates our sacrifices. I want you to notice very carefully the next two verses, verses 4 and 5. You see, our living stone was chosen of God and precious. It made no difference that men rejected Him, but they did. Disallowed, our scripture text says, which means rejected indeed of men, and they did reject Him. But they rejected Him to their hurt, because God had chosen Him, and He is precious. So then we come to Him as living stones. He is the living stone, and we come to Him as lively or living stones, and so we're built up. He builds up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. We are the ones who make up that house, and we are the ones that make up that priesthood so that we can serve God. That's what the priesthood was to do. The priesthood is to worship and serve God. Now, this relationship with Him makes it possible for us to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The animal sacrifices were finished when Jesus offered Himself on the cross of Calvary. Now we come with spiritual sacrifices. The animal sacrifices are no longer needed. The psalmist David, in his great Psalm of Confession, Psalm 51, in verse 17, makes a striking comment. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Even in the days when the animal sacrifices were very important in the life of Israel, David saw that there were spiritual sacrifices, and they far outweigh other sacrifices. Christ, our living stone, consecrates our spiritual sacrifices, which we offer unto God, and they are acceptable by Jesus Christ. The third relationship we have with Christ, our living stone, is He constitutes our foundation. Now let us concentrate on the last three verses of my text, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Peter is quoting from Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16, when he says, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Well, let me read it for you, just as it is in Isaiah 28, 16. Now here's the way Isaiah puts it. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The Apostle Peter is quoting that text. God has laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, precious, so that anyone who believes will not be ashamed or confounded. So there you have the act of God in laying that precious cornerstone. Then comes the act of the believer. Unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. We have the same relationship to that cornerstone, then, that God has, because the cornerstone then becomes precious to us. The cornerstone that was precious to God, I say, becomes precious to us, and he becomes the head of the corner. He becomes the chief cornerstone. He becomes the head of the corner. In other words, all the building is framed by this cornerstone, by this head of the corner. All the building, then, is fitly framed together, as the Scripture teaches us in another text. But there is also the act of unbelievers. There is, I say, the act of God, the act of believers, and there is the act of unbelievers. Because unto them who are disobedient, Peter says, the stone that the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner, and it becomes for them a stumbling block, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, because they stumble at the word, being disobedient. They stumble and are offended. They try to reason out why God did this, and how he did it, and probe back supposedly into the mind of God instead of receiving what God has said about him. They lose their way. He is our spiritual foundation. So they stumble because they set their minds, their intellect, above the simple, plain word of God. Let me point out to you that as a spiritual foundation, he is essential for us to reach God. The disobedient, the unbelievers, will never reach God by their program and process. But when we who believe receive him as precious, then we have access to God. Indeed, Christ, the living stone, is precious because our relationship with him makes it possible for him to control our attitudes, to consecrate our sacrifices, and to constitute our foundation. Yes. Yes, amen. Surely no one will be disappointed by trusting in Christ the living stone. Now let us pray. Mighty God, the one who has laid this precious stone, we thank thee. We thank thee for thy wisdom and thy mercy and thy purpose in laying down the chief cornerstone, even Christ, our living stone. We thank thee, Lord, that through him, through faith in him, we may have these relationships, so he will control our attitudes, he will consecrate our sacrifices, and he will constitute our foundation. Lord, I pray, bless my friend. Bless me, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus, the mighty Lord.
What a hymn of testimony and triumph. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the living stone. My friend, if this program has blessed you, we'd like to know that. No, not so we can pat ourselves on the back, but just so we can know if these programs are meeting a need in your life. Or maybe Dr. Yoder's message raised some question in your mind, something that's not clear to you. If so, we'd like to know that too. And there are several ways you can contact us. The easiest way is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or just pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, I'm happy to inform you that we recently had this whole series reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. We'd be happy to mail a copy to you for a donation of any amount. So, to request your copy of Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call our offices toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or finally, you can write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. And then if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at our website, heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number at 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. Now, we do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. We recently have removed our broadcast from several stations because we weren't receiving enough donations to cover our expenses. You don't want that to happen to you. So let us hear from you today. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you'll come back next week. Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will challenge us again with another message from 1 Peter. Let's claim our position. So until then,
in the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.